perhaps one of the most poignant moments in really all of Chumash, but certainly in Parshas Shemini, is when the fire comes down on the Mishkan, when finally, after all the hard work of Klal Yisrael, people see that Kadosh Baruch Hu has accepted all of their work. People fall on their faces, they cry out. You know, like, this is the moment they've been waiting for. Then we have the next pasuk, which is the beginning of Perek Yod. The sons of Aaron, Nadav, and Avihu each took his fire pram, and they put fire in them and placed incense upon it. They brought a ketoret, and they brought it before Hashem in Esh Zara, an alien fire that he had not commanded them. So not only do we find out that it's an Esh Zara, an alien fire, but the Chumash emphasizes Asher Lo Tzivah, that he did not command them. A fire came forth from before Hashem and consumed them, and they died before Hashem. Moshe said to Aaron, "This did Hashem speak, saying, I will be sanctified to those who are nearest to me, that will be honored before the entire people." Aaron was silent, and the whole people mourned the death of Nadav and Avihu. We've spoken about Nadav and Avihu in the past. We'll be focusing in on it again, Mirtz Hashem, today. At the outside, we'll say we don't understand what's going on here. It's beyond our understanding who Nadav and Avihu were, what the punishment was, what the sin was. It's beyond us. Having said that, let's try to plummet the depth of Chazal to try to get a sense, a taste, and to see its implications for our lives. So, just as a general overview, the article on Chumash points out, just when joy of the inauguration ritual had reached its peak, tragedy struck. These two most outstanding sons of the nation performed an unauthorized service, and they lost their lives. So in source number 3, most commentators follow Sifra that Nadav and Avihu erred in bringing their own incense into the Holy of Holies, where even the Kohen Gadol may enter only Yom Kippur. Ramban, Rabbi Yochai, however, contend it's inconceivable Nadav and Avihu would actually have taken it upon themselves to enter the holiest part of the sanctuary. Rather, they offered the regular daily incense upon the inner altar, although they had not been commanded to do so. And most Mefarshim explain that although this was something they would have needed to do, Moshe Rabbeinu was first waiting for fire to come down from heaven and then to command them to do this, and they were not yet commanded. The fascinating thing is, if you take a look at the Mefarshim, and this is source number 5, the Medrash begins to list all these different sins that Nadav and Avihu had. They were shtuye yayin, they had drunk wine, they were mechasrei begadim, they were lacking the clothes of the Kohanim when they went in, they didn't have children, they didn't get married. The list goes on. And in 5e, Ita shayu Moshe v'Aaron hochim tchila, Medrash says that Moshe and Aaron would be walking, and Nadav and Avihu would be walking after them, and then Klai Yisrael walking after them. And Nadav and Avihu would say, Matai beis kenim halalu meitim vanivatam nanhiga tador. Can't wait for Moshe and Aaron to die, that we can be the leaders of the nation. Which is obviously makes absolutely no sense. What were they thinking? Moshe and Aaron, the greatest of people, Nadav and Avihu were going to be the leaders of the nation? Makes no sense. The Nerusiyon, source number 4, cites the opinion of Rashi that they died because they rendered a legal ruling without first consulting with Moshe, their teacher, and they died because they brought the offering to the state of alcoholic intoxication. Besides the fact that the text does not seem to support these interpretations, the entire exercise of finding a reason for their death seems superfluous. The Torah itself gives the reason for their death. They offered it before God, an unauthorized fire, which God had not instructed them to offer. So all the Midrashim the Nesiva Shalom brings, as well as Rashi, they were shtuye yayin, they didn't get married, they couldn't wait till Moshe and Aaron died. All of this doesn't seem to stem with the text. It says in the Chumash, why did they die? They brought an Esh Zara, a strange fire. They brought a korban they weren't supposed to bring. And they were killed. Like, what is going on here? And further notes the Neruzio, the sage's unfavorable characteristic of Nadav and Avihu appears to contradict the Talmud's interpretation of a verse that follows. I'll be sanctified through those who are close to me, which implies that Nadav and Avihu had attained a level of spirituality higher than that of Moshe and Aaron. So we need to try to understand What is going on here? What was their sin? Who are Nadav and Avihu? What is this all about? So, Mirtz Hashem, what we'll try to do is take a look at two different approaches, really on opposite sides of the spectrum, then try to look at an approach which is, at some level, going to meet as a medium between these two approaches, and that'll be our third approach, is one Mirtz Hashem will look at in depth, and then finally we'll take a look at it from an entirely different perspective, very briefly. Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky said, Tzal Emes LeYaakov. And he says, "Vanira de Chazal hukshulahem ech yitachein bemet shekadoshim halalu avru klomar shasu shalokadit." When our rabbis are giving all these different things that Nadav and Avihu did, what's really troubling our rabbis is how could Nadav and Avihu, such great people, do what they've done? V'kam tafsu hashorash shimenu nistasei faysur hazeh. What they're trying to find is what's the root? Where's it coming from? People just don't bring an Eish Zara. There must be something that is a trigger, something before that. V'al kein de'ezeh srach shel gusus haruach hayakan. And therefore, Rav Yaakov says that Chazal see in them some, and this is again on their very high exalted level, some aspect, some tinge of haughtiness. V'ech yitachein shekdoshim ka'elu yichashlu b'zeh. V'akorcha shelo hayta da'atam shleimayim hanagah Moshe Rabbeinu. They felt on their level that they could be even greater leaders, that they could even lead the people closer to the way of Torah. And this is understanding the Shtiyas Yayin, that wine, first of all, wasn't prohibited just yet. It will be prohibited later in our parsha as a result of what Nadav and Avihu did. And it was really a day of simcha, like a bar mitzvah, it's a day of the chinuch ha-mishkan. So they drank a lot. It doesn't say they were shikorim. They were drunk. They were shtuya yayin. They had drunk more than they were even really allowed to drink. And all of this is coming from this feeling of this superiority, this feeling of being special. And that's why he says they didn't get married. This idea of precious, we don't want to be married, we want to be separate, like Ben Azai. It's all coming from this feeling of we're above, we're elevated, we can celebrate. And here, Rabbi Yaakov notes, and this is really fundamental for us, he says in the bracket in 6, V'hainu, B'chol adam nimsei nekuda merkazit, shiminiyako chatei adam. Every person has what we call their Achilles heel. Every person has their one aspect which is what trips them up in everything. And it's because of, in this case, it's because of their gaiva. They felt that they didn't need to get married. They felt they could be better leaders. They felt they could bring a korban, you know, if they felt it was appropriate. It's that one thing that, because of that, so many other things are connected with it. And really in life, that's the key, what we have to find. I was just meeting with a girl today who said, you know, I don't know what mida to work on. Like, you know, I'm a well-rounded person. There's nothing that stands out with me that this is something I have to work on. So I was thinking to myself, well, that's really what you need to work on, is to figuring out that you're in worse shape, right? If you don't even know what you have to need to work on, then you're worse off than if you know what you have to work on, then you need to work on it. Right? And we're talking about how do you find, what's that thing? What's that, usually for some people, it's like so clear. They're envious, they're angry, they're impatient, they're whatever it is. That one thing will then ripple off into so many other areas in one's life. This idea of this gasat ruach, this, again, this feeling of superiority, is what the Datraga, Rav Shraga Grossbard Zatzal speaks about. And he says, Hemiku chazal b'shorash yishvatam v'anagatam u'matzu smach hazeh shebetoch ma'utam. Deep within them, the Aaron 7, amok amok, really deep. B'tzurat akabiyoter, in such a subliminal way, hayah chavui nitzot shel atzmayut. There was, and again, the way he's describing it, it's like it wasn't something that was so obvious. Deep in them, there was some aspect of independence. Hainu nikudat tenasha ratzon vanagali folkafi havanatam bertzonatzmei. They wanted to be independent. They wanted to call the shots. They wanted to do it their way. And vanyanchel linaheg velfer shalosi vashem. And therefore, they acted on this by bringing a korban that wasn't that was from what Hashem commanded. And that's how it goes through in 8. All of these things that they did is all coming from the sense of independence. All coming from the sense of, again, as we saw, a little bit of the holier than thou, Kedusha, Prishul, separation, holiness. And this is this was a challenge that they have. And he notes here, and this is very important, he says, obviously, the fact that they wanted to rule, they were doing it on a level of Shem Shemayim, they felt they were, you know, could be appropriate as leaders, but he says in the asterisks, and this is interesting in general, a person should not want to be a leader, even if he's doing it for the sake of heaven. Unless clearly it's like landed in your lap, right? You shouldn't go running after positions of leadership and authority. If it lands in your lap and it's clear Hashgacha has put you in these positions. You know, I always say this, like I was the student who was sitting in the back of the class. I never want to be the center of attention. This is where, you know, just leave me in the back and I'll be happy and, you know, not to be noticed. That's my personality. And I always say it's like Hashem's sense of humor that He put me in life in the position that I'm in, b'chasdei Hashem. It's not something that you necessarily choose. It's something that mamish, you know, the way Hashgacha works in life. This is where a person's calling is. So Nadav and Avihu, this is a challenge for all of us. We don't go looking for positions of leadership. When they fall into your lap, so to stand behind Moshe and Aaron and say, I can't wait to be leaders, that's a little bit of the sense of independence that we're talking about. Moshe Rabbeinu tried for a whole week not to be a leader. This isn't something we run after. This is something like, we know by Shliach Sibur, he's asked to lead the davening, he's supposed to refuse a few times. No. That's, who are we to lead? Who are we? This is a big responsibility. And again, the fact that they wanted this, the fact that they were yearning for this, is again coming from that deep place within them. So Atraga notes that this was part of their personality throughout. Only on the day of the Chanukah Samishkan, now when the Mishkan is being inaugurated, here, when it's like a public showing, so now, Aval Kashira Chaychelahem Nagab is Soda Shlemus Bavoros HaMishkan. Now it's coming to effect the completion of the Mishkan, what the Mishkan is all about. Heim Nanchu Kashira Subimakom Mekudash Tavara Shalot Zivashem. Now at this time and place, they're being punished. And this is a great, you know, statement for all of Klal Yisrael who saw this, that you have to be very careful, that, you know, it's okay to have that feeling of I want to and I can, and that sense of a self, which is important to have, B'shvili Niver Olam, for me the world's created, at the right time in the right place. And here, when it crossed the line, so to speak, this is a time that they get punished, and it's a message for all of us, beware, be careful of that part of us that wants to be a little bit too independent. So that's one way of looking at Nadav and Avihu, and it's more, and again, on their high, lofty level, we have to understand this, saying that, b'mercha'ot, in quotations, a bit of a critical level. Then there's a flip side. The flip side is the Netziv. The Emet Dever explains, as the Ner Uziel brings, that death is not always a consequence of sin. Sometimes it can result from a spiritual experience that is beyond one's capacity to endure. The Torah contains numerous examples of such spiritual, quote-unquote, short circuits. A classic example is found in the account of the Sinai Revelation. The Medrash relates that the souls of the Jewish nation left their bodies when they heard Hashem's voice pronouncing the first two of the 10 dibrot. Life in this world consists of a partnership between body and soul. Yet powerful spiritual experiences can excite the soul and make it vibrate at a higher frequency than that of the body. If the body lags behind the soul, such an experience could cause the soul to burst out of its physical confines in a flash of supreme spiritual rapture, and the body may not survive the experience. That's a great way of describing it. Thus, it's only extremely righteous individuals who have purified their bodies and elevated them to a spiritual level that corresponds to the level of their souls that are capable of surviving certain very intense spiritual experiences. This unauthorized fire was not the first time Nadav and Avihu had reached for spirituality that was beyond their grasp. The Torah tells us that prior to Mishkan's inauguration ceremony, they'd undergone another such experience, and that was they saw a vision of God, and they ate and they drank, and again, Hashem didn't punish them then, He waited till now to punish them, but again, they saw a vision, whatever that meant, of Hashem that was beyond their capacity. Thus, a pattern emerges in their aspirations and in their behavior. The desire to go beyond their spiritual capability was ingrained in Nadav and Avihu's personality. It propelled them at breakneck speed to the highest level of consciousness, enabling them to reach spiritual realms that surpass even the awareness of Moshe and Aaron. At the same time, however, their zeal wore down those threads that connected their bodies to their souls until finally the threads snapped and their souls left their bodies behind and soared on to even higher realms of divinity. Therefore, the sins of Nadav and Avihu that stem from their insatiable desire to achieve a more profound knowledge of Hashem. And that's the idea of Shtuya Yayin. Why do they drink wine? They drank wine to reach higher levels of consciousness, to be on a higher level. This extremely intense desire to come closer to Hashem that Nadav and Avihu had cultivated came to overshadow everything else in their lives, even God's own commandments. The Torah refers to this burning intensity as an unauthorized fire, to teach that the fire of religious zeal must be channeled in accordance with the guidelines of the Torah. And that, my friends, is the second idea. Let's look at this for a few minutes. Na'am Yirtz Hashem. Nadav and Avihu aren't coming from a place of gaiva, of independence. They're coming from a place of love. They're coming from a place of such passion and zeal to serve Hashem that they can't contain themselves in the physical world. It's like they're living in a different dimension. Their souls, right? Nafshi sarok elecha. Their souls are yearning. Nichsof nichsafti. It's this desire to be close to Hashem that the physical body is just weighing them down in this world. All they want is to be connected to something higher. The unauthorized fire is that zealousness that they have to connect to a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Isn't that something wonderful that we have that passion and zeal? The answer is yes. However, it has to be as Hashem commanded us. And that is why the Siftei Chaim, Rav Chaim Yom Friedlander Zatzal says, the korban that they brought was the ketoret, the incense offering. Ketoret comes from the word kesher, to connect. This is the korban that connects Klal Yisrael with Hashem. This is like the most beloved of the korbanos. They're coming from clearly a place of love. However, the Chumash says, Lo tzivelta, Hashem didn't command them. And the asterisk in 12b, under, by the Lo tzivelta, the tam is a mercha kfula. Mercha is like a, looks like a comma. It's a double comma. Usually when you have just a mercha, tipcha, you have one comma and another comma, and that makes a parenthesis together. Here, mercha kfula is a double comma, like a double stop. Stop! Lizaher harbe v'litbonen. Heitev b'cholam asim shosim ha'im be'emet tziva Hashem. Mercha is telling you stop a minute. Double stop. Is this really what Hashem wants from you? And this is a question that we have to ask ourselves, as the Ramchal points out that Yisod HaChassidus in 12c v'sharash avodah tmima. Why are we in this world that a person has to do? That Shesima Batomakamato, you have to do Ritzon Hashem, you have to do the mitzvot that Hashem has commanded you. Kiyikar Mitzvot Sa'adam Alamazah, the purpose of us being in this world, who Huraklikaye Mitzvot, Velavoda Velamobi Sayyub, to serve Hashem, to withstand challenges. And we have to realize, Vomnam Ra'ui in the bold, lo, Shetiyek Kopnir Tarek Labaris Barach, what we're doing here is serving Hashem. V'shelo yeh lo shum tachlit acher b'chol ma'aseh she'aseh katon v'gadol el yitkarev v'lav yitbarach v'lishbor kol mechitzor mavtikot beino levein kono. Our job is to serve God, not to serve ourselves. Our job is to see what Hashem has commanded us and to do those things. And sometimes with our passion to serve God, we can somehow, sometimes, fall into the trap of doing what feels good for us religiously, what makes us feel connected, what makes us feel high, so to speak, spiritually, but it's not what Hashem has commanded us. And this is the Yisod Gadol b'Avodotenu Avodototechem Yuchedet Ladad et Hashem. We have to know Hashem v'lirtzot likarev elav, and coming close to a Kodesh Baruch Hu on His terms. And this is what Rabbi Miller in Shabbat Shirin points out on the next page in Source 14, an example of somebody who really had spiritual intention, but it wasn't what God commanded, would be the personality of Korach. Where Korach, his motive was a real longing for the mitzvot, the Aaron 14, the sanctity of the position. But yet the Medrash points out, even on his lofty plane, he displayed a self-assertive greed that leads him to identify with the man who rushes to enrich himself. It was Korach's own desire that filled his horizon. He could not even consider what God's will was on the matter might be. Korach's own will obtruded before everything. Unlike Moshe, who was ready to deny himself utterly where the good of the people on the command of Hashem was in question. And this is the difference between Moshe Rabbeinu and Korach. And there are practical applications, distinction, even within the scale of normal daily living. It implies in 15 a call to restraint of this clamoring voice of the self, demanding, asserting, even in matters where the desired good is a spiritual one. There is a spiritual egoism as well as a material one, expressed in an interest only in the benefit to one's own soul of a particular mitzvah. For example, without thought for the best manner, which objectively and unselfishly it should be performed. We should never lose sight of the moral sensibilities of other people, never wound them in our own determination to be virtuous. And this is something very important, my friends. We've spoken about this in the past. To have a simchas beis ha-shoefa at 12 o'clock at night at your sukkah, and to be screaming out, you know, top of your lungs, and you and your 30 other guests, right? Men's voices that are very deep. You're screaming out, you know, the greatest songs of Yiddi Nefesh, of your desire for Hashem. That's very nice, and I'm very happy that you have this desire for God. And I'm very happy you feel the mitzvah simcha space of Shoeva, and the simcha is very important. But not outside your house at 12 o'clock at night, when there are families nearby who need to go to sleep. This is what we're talking about. Does one's spiritual passion fit into a spiritual egoism that sometimes blocks us from really seeing what does Hashem really want? To run to a shir that you want to get at the front seat because you want to listen to every word and you trample everybody along the way that you meet is not helpful, right? To triple park and block everybody so that you can run in to to do a mitzvah. Like you're doing Tom Chai Shabbos, so you double park your car and everyone has to go around you. Or you park it in Israel, the people park on the sidewalks, and I'm sure they do in other places too. And then people with carriages have to go around you, but you're doing a mitzvah, you want to do it the best. Again, we have to be very careful that our mitzvah observance is done in the way Hashem commands us, and not the way we just feel it's the right thing and the best thing to do. So my friends, we've seen really two sides of the coin. One is, it's a negative, so to speak. It's this ego driving them. The second is it's really very positive. And it's really out of love and passion for Hashem. We just have to be very careful that we don't cross the line and we do what Hashem has commanded them or us to do. The third approach, which is an approach we haven't really seen in the past, which is a very, very deep approach, which has a lot of Torah on it. And we'll try to uncover a number of its layers step by step. A little bit up in the clouds, work with me, we haven't been there in a while. Asufos Varachos, Rav Goldwicht, and he says, Nadar Vihu Hedimu Otzmam, Navda Vihu took the initiative, Source 16, Vaharuka Halacha, and they decided that this is what the Halacha was, El Shalom Rechut Chila B'Moshe Rabbam, but they didn't ask Moshe first. Hey, Mistigo Efo Tator Fasha Lacham Libam the Kivnu Lamet. You know what? They were right. This was what was going to be commanded to them. They were able to intuit it before it was commanded. They were great people. To the extent that the fact is they were able to understand what it was that needed to be done. The only problem was it wasn't yet commanded for them to do it. The action itself was the correct action. It was just that they jumped the gun. They did it too early. However, having said this, this is really the level that the Avos HaKadoshim were on. The Avos didn't have the Torah. They didn't have, Breishis Baruch. Where did they know to keep the halachas? They knew it intuitively. They Yishtaka Baraisa Varama. Hashem looked into Torah, created the world. You look at the world, you know Torah. That was the level that Nadav and Avihu were on. That they understood what needed to get done even before they were told. However, we know, this is Vasemes, that on the pasuk asher lo tzivatam ki ikar ki kol koach maisa adam sarich liyo mitzat tzivui Hashem. The bracket at 16, ki kol shekol haadam sarich liyo bata lekoach zeh. I understand that you intuit. I understand that you're on a very high level. I also want to tell you, the whole inyan of Yiddishkeit is bittul. Bittul is being able to sublimate your desires to a higher desire. And you have to wait until you're commanded. Asher lo tziva otam, if you're not commanded, even if it's correct, it's not correct. Why do we do anything? We do it because Hashem commands us. And here, Rav Goldsmith goes through pages and pages, and I just want to really take out a nugget from it, without going through the whole maimer, which is worth going through, but not right now. In source 17, where he speaks about there are two types of mitzvahs, two categories, more than two, but two classic categories. One is mitzvahs shimios, and one is mitzvahs sichlios. Mitzvahs shimios are mitzvahs that are heard, and these are mitzvahs that we heard, sheshamu mipi advura b'sinai, we heard from Hashem and Har Sinai. And these are mitzvahs that I would never imagine to do them on my own. I would never imagine to sit on the sukkah or eat matzah or, you know, put on towels and tefillin, not the girls, put on towels and tefillin, but mitzvahs like that that are commanded. These are mitzvahs, shofar, that are mitzvahs shimios. We had to hear those mitzvahs, otherwise I would not know to do those, right? The shatnez, basar v'chalav, all those type of mitzvahs. And then there are mitzvahs that are called sichlios, that these mitzvahs, that Shomalei Nichtavu Ruim Hayuli Katev, even if they weren't written, I would know these. We call these the moral law and order of society. And the classic examples of those would be not to steal, not to kill, not to take somebody's wife. You know, these are like built into the societal norms. And even if the Chumash hadn't written them, I would know that these are the things I just don't do. Right? You don't steal from somebody else. You don't, kill people. Well, these are, you know, the logical types of mitzvahs. Now he says the following in source 18: In safek shim bechoso nichtavu halalu b'Torah, hareza balu lemein shachshav nichtavu aleinu lekablam ulekaimam lo rak mitoch uvnata deliba didan elegam vulai bikar mechamat hatzavui dafka. And this is a very big chiddush. It's an important idea. Okay, I would have intuited them anyway. I know there's certain things you don't do. This is like obvious. However, it was written in the Torah. We have lo tirzach, don't kill. We have lo tignav, don't steal. We have these written in the Torah, right? Don't be a false witness against your friend. So if I have these in the Torah, here's the key. The key is the fact that the Chumash writes it. The fact that they're part of the rubric of halacha means that when I keep these halachas, I'm not keeping them because it makes sense to me. I'm keeping them because the Kadosh Baruch Hu commanded me to keep them. And that's what I have to keep in mind. Hafchu liyot, the double underline in 18, tzav haboret. V'kiyumanu otam hirak b'toras chok v'gzeira. They are now the decree of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and it doesn't matter whether I understand them or not. It's beyond my understanding. If this is what Hashem tells me to do, I'm doing it because He tells me. V'nimsein mekablam lem schar, and I get rewarded for these things. And that's what I have to understand. That when it comes to these mitzvahs of the ritzonos and the shifos of a person that would logically bring them to fruition, a person has to understand litalema tiyan ha tivit ha shochenet banu v'lishovet korach haratzon shelo lekayman mitzvei shel Torah. We have to, and sometimes it's not easy, to shy away from our own desire. Oh, I'm doing this. I'm helping an old lady cross the street. I feel so good. I'm such a kind person, right? Maybe I should give that example as I get older. Helping somebody, right? It's such a nice thing to do. Oh, I feel so good. I am a good person. I'm a good citizen, whatever, however you want to say it. No. I mean, that may be true, but that's not why I'm doing the mitzvah. Chazal tell us, who Yahweh Omer in Source 20, Asay Ritzono Kirtzoncha, Bata Ritzoncha, Mipnei Ritzono. There has to be a bittul of my Ritzon. There has to be a sublimation of my desire that the reason that I am doing this mitzvah, the reason why I'm making that food for the family who has a sick person or a mother just gave birth to the baby, is not because I'm a good neighbor and a good friend. That may be true, I'm doing this because the Kodesh Baruch Hu commanded me, v'ahavta lerecha kamocha. And even if I wasn't a good person, or if I wasn't a good neighbor, or whatever it is, it's irrelevant. It's what's relevant is that I am, work with me here, that I'm doing this mitzvah because I am moving the physical action away, above and beyond, away from the physical world into the world of the spiritual. If I'm doing it just because I feel good, then it's keeping the mitzvah down here on earth. And mitzvahs don't belong on earth. Mitzvahs are something by definition. It's a savta. It's a commandment from above. It's something that links the spiritual world and the physical world. And that's why mitzvahs v'haya malekha, I can't get rewarded in this world for mitzvahs, because mitzvahs aren't really for down here. They are the medium that enables me to get reward in the future, in the world that's totally eternal, in the world that's totally spiritual. So you can't possibly reward somebody in the physical world for a spiritual reality. And the challenge that we have is even those mitzvahs, which would seem to fit into the physical reality, into the physical mindset of this world, we have to elevate into the spiritual world. Which means, in simple English, that before I do a mitzvah, sichli, a logical mitzvah, I first say to myself, hineni muchan mezuma, behold, I am ready, l'kai a mitzvah, to do the mitzvah, v'haftar echa kamocha, or whatever a mitzvah it is. And to recognize that this is the reason I'm being Menachem Avol, the reason I'm doing Bikur Choli, I'm visiting somebody who's sick or comforting the mourners, is this, is because this is what Hashem has commanded me. And then I've taken this act and I've raised it up to a much higher level, and I have been able to be mevatel, sublimate my ratzon, my desire, to Hashem's. And that's the key goal. Because if you don't do that, then you're going to fall into that trap, perhaps, of Nadav and Avihu, where you think that you know best, and you think you know how you do it, and it's all about you, and you haven't remembered that we're here to serve God, not for that spiritual egoism, which is a real pitfall in life. With this, we can appreciate in 21, back to Nadav and Avihu. Lo padmu eifo b'nei Aaron begufel shel mitzvah. The mitzvah itself was the right thing to do. Aval hichmitzu et tzivui, but they missed out on it. V'nimsa'u heim mekayimim et haTorah lo kederech hudkah mitoch avto chaluta. They're doing it because they feel this is the right thing to do. They're not doing it because Hashem commanded them. And that was missing that element. Asher lo sivaltam. Hine rokam bekachat ikar harata shel Torah. You are emptying out the essence of what Torah is about. Acts like this that were not commanded especially, specifically, and you didn't get permission, that's what we call an Esh Zara. That is the strange fire. The fire itself was was at the wrong time. It's strange, it's an Esh Zara, because it was not a fire that Hashem commanded them. So now, my friends, let's take this a little bit further. What was motivating Nadav and Avihu, who were on such a high level, to offer a fire before the time? Why didn't they just wait? Why didn't they wait till Moshe Rabbeinu told them? So, okay, we saw that they had that passion, that zeal, they couldn't control themselves. And that's what some of the first Yemei Shtami speaks about this. It was just that passion, they couldn't hold themselves back, granted. The Sfasemes, and a lot of people quote the Sfasemes, the Sosemis offers an insight that's absolutely gewaltig, and this is the insight that Mirza Shemron developed now. What was driving Nadav and Avihu? That they did Asher lo tzivaltam, that they did it without Hashem commanding them. So he explains that a really true servant, this is in 22, Siftei Dan, it summarizes Sosemis, that a really true servant is able to know what the master needs without asking, right? So, you know, you have the butler's, right? So the master doesn't come in and say, please take my coat. The butler knows. Takes him off the coat. The butler knows. You want a cup of tea. The butler knows all these things even without asking. And this is the level kivyochel, the malchei sharis. They're able to do ritzon Hashem, knowing what Hashem wants. This was the level that Klal Yisrael reached by Mamad Har Sinai. Naseh v'nishma. We will do and then we will hear. They were able to understand what it is that Hashem wants them even before they were going to hear it. Now, we know in 23, L'davon lev chatu Yisrael v'naflu mitzota madrega. That level of really knowing what Hashem wants even before being commanded was the level before Chetekel. They sinned in Chetego. They lost that level. Now it's only what Hashem commands. Ah, Nadav Avihu, who are from Shechet Levi, never sinned in Chetego. So what did they want to do? They wanted to maintain that level, that lofty level of Nasa V'Nishma. And that's what it means. When will these two elders die that we can take over? When will we be able, with our group, be able to lead the nation, even if it's a small group of nation, doesn't matter. On that high, lofty level of Klal Yisrael before the sin. They were living in a different dimension. They were living in the dimension of, like, the next world dimension, of Yemos Mashiach dimension. That's the level that they wanted to hold on to. That's the level of Nasa before Nishma. And that is where Hashem says, Chat'am v'teutam shel Nadav Avihu, hayu the Aaron 23, shein lo hevinu shelechol zman ve'eh. What Nadav Avihu didn't understand, this is the right time and place for everything. And this was not the right generation and the time for that world of the truth, that world of Nasa before Nishma. And that he explains at the end of 23 is why the entire people have to mourn the death of Nadav Avihu. Why would the entire people? They didn't do anything. So according to the Sfas Emes, yes, they did something. The fact that Klal Yisrael sinned and they came down from that high level is the reason that Nadav Avihu weren't going to be able to live on that level. It's all of Klal Yisrael's fault. So because Klal Yisrael were the cause of the downfall of this high level, so therefore the entire Klal Yisrael have to mourn the death of Nadav Avihu. Let's try and understand this a little bit deeper, and then we'll go a little bit deeper, my friends. The Chaim Moshe, Rav Bick, who develops this idea of the Sfas Emes says the following. The Nira Levayer, 24, second paragraph. Ki Nadav Avihu savru demi sheino metzuva v'osa mipad sheisig ba'atzmo gadol mi shemetzuva v'osa haino shoseh rak achar shenitzav alosa. You know, there are two types of commandments, one that you're commanded to do, and one that you do even though you're not specifically commanded. They understood that Nasa V'Nishma means we will do and then we will hear. Hey, Rusho, Shef Shar lo so mi kotem sheshamu et divrei HaTorah. V'yodim heim l'chavein et ha'konam v'la sovrit zonu et barach. They really believe that Nasa V'Nishma meant that we're able to do even before we're able to hear. But Moshe Rabbeinu understood, no. Nasa V'Nishma means who should nasa ma sheshamanu kvar. We will do what we heard already. V'nirtzeh lishmoa od and we'll hear more. So here we have a misunderstanding or a conflicted ways of understanding Nasa V'Nishma. The way Nadav Avihu understood it is that we're able to intuit what to do. Moshe Rabbeinu said, that's not what it means. It means that you'll do what you've already heard and you're open to doing more. It's that openness. Nadav Avihu felt that the best level is to do is to really jump the gun, to really be able to try to figure out what Hashem wants, and to do it with passion. And that's why we know in general, why is one who is mitzvah v'osa commanded to do greater than one not commanded to do? Because one who's commanded to do has many more bigger yetzahara not to do it. And therefore, if he has to overcome his yetzahara, he's going to get rewarded, right? If he's told to get up in the morning and daven, yach, I don't want to, and he gets up anyway, that's greater than someone who says, hey, gee, I think I'm going to get up this morning and daven, and it's coming from yourself, so then there's less, you know, resistance. So Nadav Avihu felt that there's a little bit of a lacking of passion in here. And they said a person should do a mitzvah with as much simcha as possible. Machar shedoei tamil levatel yotzro, v'savru shemutav l'kei mitzvahs Hashem b'simcha, uv'la'avto b'fomrumo taruah b'losar v'daga. It's better to do it out of your own will, because that way you're doing it because you want to do it. And that's why they wanted to bring the ketoret, so that they could be able to show their joy. And that's what it means that they drank wine. Wine is a symbol of Yain Yismach Levav Enosh. Wine is a sign of joy. Their whole bringing of the korban, the whole initiation is about, we want to serve Hashem with passion. It's interesting, Ravik notes in 26 that the Rambam who speaks about, right, that Simcha, Sheyismach Adam, in the arrow in 26, Basiyas the Mitzvah, Bavat HaKel, that a person should rejoice in doing a mitzvah and Hashem commanding, Shitzivaba Hem, that Hashem's commanded you, is one of the great things, Avoda Gadolahi. It's a great level to reach. But what does the Rambam say? Ubavat HaKel Shitzivaba Hem. Where is the simcha? The simcha is in mitzvos that Hashem has commanded you. And this is the fine line that Nadav and Avihu are crossing here, where they really believe, Gadol ha-mitzuvah v'osa, mi she'eno mitzuvah v'osa. They're saying, no, that mi she'eno mitzuvah v'osa can be even greater, because you're tuning what Hashem wants, you're doing it as simcha, and they felt that they were in the correct way of doing it. Which brings us into the Shilei Pinchas, who brings down, this is source 30, the Gemara tells us, greater is a mitzvah which one has been commanded to do than one who has not been commanded to do. Which Shelsfos explained, is only because of the extra pressure and worry of having to battle the Yetzirah, as we saw. It would seem that otherwise a voluntary mitzvah would be greater. Says the Yaros Tvash, accordingly in the future, when Hashem will destroy the Yetzirah, a voluntary mitzvah will be of a greater level. So you see here, and this is bringing us back to the Sfasemes, that Nadav and Avihu really felt that they were now on the cusp of something much greater, something much bigger going on here. And therefore, it was only appropriate now that we could really come to the level of one who's not mitzuvah, come to the level of la'asid lavo in the future, where in the future, indeed, one who's not commanded will be even greater than one who is commanded. And that explains, my friends, in 33, what it means that Nadav and Avihu entered Shtuye Yayin. They entered in drinking wine. So we ask ourselves, why would they think to drink wine when you drink wine? I understand it makes you happy. What were they thinking? So listen to what this, the Siftech Shvilei Pinchas brings in 33. We know that what Chazal say, what was the sin of Adam HaRishon? Tanya. Ilan she'achal mimenu Adam HaRishon. What was the tree that Adam HaRishon ate from? Rabbi Meir Omer. Rabbi Meir says, Gefen haya. It was wine. So now I can appreciate why you can't go into the Beis HaMikdash drinking wine, because wine was the downfall of Klal Yisrael, downfall of the world. And therefore, when you're coming to serve Hashem, you have to make sure you don't follow into the same trap that was fallen into once, that it led to our downfall. Be careful when you come into the Beis HaMikdash, ki ein kategor naseh sanegor, right? The accuser can't be, the prosecutor can't be the defense attorney. And he brings down here something which I had never seen before, which I found absolutely fascinating in 34. He says, this is why. Because Adam HaRishon drank the wine, and that is what led to the downfall and ultimately to the death of all mankind. He says, Nagu HaOlam in 34. I've seen this more with Sfardim than with Ashkenazim, but it's around. Nagu HaOlam Kishem Avarech B'tzibur Omer. When a person in public says, Savri Maranan, right? B'rishut. With the people around here, I'm about to say a bracha of Borei Pri HaGafen in Kiddush, Abdullah, whatever it is. The people answer, perhaps you know this, L'chaim. So you ask yourself, L'chaim, what are we doing, drinking all L'chaims together? No, this is a pshat. That L'chaim is saying, we're about to say a bracha on the wine. L'chaim, that this bracha on the wine should be used for life. Because the original person who drank the wine wasn't such good consequences. In fact, deadly consequences. So therefore, we say l'chaim, that our drinking of the wine should be for positive. Our drinking of the wine should be for elevation. Our drinking of the wine, literally, l'chaim, should be for life, not for death. Mata, we can appreciate now in 34, Yesh Lomar, Shemitam Zen, Nichlesu Nadav and Avihu, Shduye Yayim, L'meis HaMikdash. Now I can appreciate Nadav and Avihu drank wine. Ki chashvu shekvar nitkan chayt Adam HaRishon shechata b'yayin. They thought the sin of Adam HaRishon, who sinned with wine, had been rectified. And since we're in the world of the perfection, we're allowed to drink wine. Nadav Aviyu thought that we are now at the time of the rectification of sin of Nadav Aviyu, which is the Tikkun of Achris Hayamim, which is the future world, because they believe that the day that the Mishkan was established was, and the Mishkan was for a kapara, for the atonement of the Chet HaEgel, and therefore they thought that if it's going to be an atonement for the Chet HaEgel, and before they sinned the Chet HaEgel, they reached that level of Adar Rishon before the sin. The Chet HaEgel, they fell down. So now that the Mishkan has come as an atonement, Mishkan Angels has come for an atonement, as we spoke about, for the sin of the Chet HaEgel, so now we come back to that world of Nasi for Nishma. We come back to the world of one who isn't commanded is greater than one who's commanded, because we're coming back to that perfected world where there's no Yitzhara. It's a world of complete devotion to Hashem. It's a world of intuiting that devotion to Hashem. And that's the world that Nadav and Avihu felt they were on. And they dafka drank the wine because they felt that now their drinking of the wine would be the tikkun, would be the rectification of the original drinking of the wine of Adam HaRishon. And that is why they were saying, Matai, when in 36, Betz Kedim Halalu Meiti Vanu Nogim Srara Latzibor, they wanted to be able to lead the nation in the Achris Hayamim, in the future type of leadership. We understand, this is in 31, that the seemingly in the top in English different reasons Chazal given for their death is really not a different reason at all. For truth, they're both one and the same. Nothing of Eve's death had been because of the bringing a strange fire which Hashem had not commanded, which was the same idea behind them saying, when will these two leaders pass away and we become the leaders of the community? Both ideas are motivated by the drive to serve Hashem at the highest level of devotion, through being free of the Yitzhara, being able to serve Hashem voluntarily, something which the world was not yet ready for. Their death was not so much a punishment as was it a direct effect of the intense devotion that accompanied the doing of a voluntary mitzvah. Their passion to serve Hashem was so great that it caused their soul to depart. This devotion was one of the future, one which we look forward to having speedily in our days. So Nadav and Avihu, when they were coming here, when we spoke about that they came because of sense of self, we spoke about they offered these sacrifices, a sense of passion. The sense of self, the sense of passion is really, in the stern answer, a combination. Where they understood that sense of self, they were able to intuit like the Avos HaKadoshim. They were great people. Nasa v'nishma, what Hashem really wanted. They were on a level of Gadol Mitzuvos, of Misha'ena Mitzuvosa, Misha Mitzuvosa, of one who's not commanded. They understood what it was that had to be done. The problem was, we're not in the future time. The problem was, we're still in a time right now where it's only the Mitzuvosa. And they were mistaken in thinking that Klal Yisrael and the Mishkan were going back, or really forward, to that future time when it wasn't yet ready. And therefore, because they misunderstood the dynamics of that time, and it wasn't time for the Tikkun of Chayei Tzedak, and again, Asher Lo Tzivot, Hashem didn't command them, Hashem didn't tell them, now, okay, we've switched eras, you're in charge now. It wasn't that specific instruction to do that. Therefore, they lost their lives. Just interesting to end this piece, 38 through 41, on the last page. Shlomo Pinchas brings down from the Chidushei Harim that there is this almost promise in the Chumash that you should keep the Torah mitzvos v'chay b'hem, and you shall live by them. You shall live by them means that when you do a mitzvah, and you do it passionately, and you do it with enthusiasm, you'll have a certain shmira, you'll have a certain protection that you're not going to get hurt. Nadav and Avihu, who thought that we're at, you know, the level of the future, when Bala Mavet LaNetzach, there won't be any death, felt like there's no, you know, negative consequence here. There's no death. We don't have to worry. But again, we weren't at that stage. That we have to realize, and I think the upshot of this whole level for us, it's really twofold. One is, when we do a mitzvah, we have to do it because Hashem commanded us. We have to recognize, Gadol Mitzvah V'Osa, when we overcome Har Yetzirah, and I do it because Hashem commanded me to do it, not because it feels good for me. And I'm able to move myself into that higher dimension. And two, and again, that takes a bit of moving my ego and saying, you know, because I feel so good about myself. Wow, look how great I am. I'm doing it because Hashem commanded me, whether I feel good or not. It's not about me. It's about serving Hashem. And that's very important to remember. And two, it's about passion. And I think this idea of passion and enthusiasm, which Nathan and Avihu definitely are models for us, has to be understood in the context of reading this year Parashat Shemini between Purim and Pesach. In fact, the week right soon after Purim. And we need to understand that the whole idea of Purim, which is an unbridled joy, is not just that on Purim we should have this enthusiasm and this passion. The whole point of Purim, and hence many reasons why Purim is an Adar Sheni, like this year is a leap year when normally we want to do mitzvot as early as possible, why not make it an Adar Rishon, is because there's a linkage between Purim and Pesach. And part of this linkage of Pesach, Rosh Chodesh Nisan, Nisan is Hitchachos, is rejuvenation, is that what this time and what Purim has to do and what this Parsha is teaching us is that when we come to do mitzvot, we have to do it with this passion, with this enthusiasm, that we almost should feel like that my soul is short-circuiting, that I can't hold myself back. I'm so in love. I'm so enthralled. And that, unfortunately, we have on Purim, you know, people are dancing and happy, and then what happens to all that joy? It just gets bottled up to the next year. No, we have to be able to take the joy of Purim and put it into our Avodas Hashem as Pesach is coming. And even the cleaning for Pesach shouldn't be done out of burden. Put on music, right? Do it with a positive attitude, because that joy, that service of God, I'm doing this for a higher reason, is what leads us to the ultimate simcha, the ultimate joy in our lives. The final idea, which we'll make mention of, which is really very deep and really beyond the purview and scope of this year, it needs a lot more attention. However, I'm just going to make mention of this, is the approach Rav Rivlin brings down based on the Al Shech HaKadosh. And he says, in Source 42, he says, to a certain degree, their death is not a punishment at all. Eluschut, it's a merit. This gets back to the Chazal that Moshe Rabbeinu knew that somebody was going to great, was going to die at the day of the consecration of the Mishkan, and that was how it was going to be consecrated. He didn't know it was going to be him, Aaron, and he said, you know, your children were even greater than us, that they were the ones chosen. And why that had to happen is our discussion for now. At times, these are rare times, that Hashem doesn't go according to strict reward and punishment. But there's a higher divine plan that has to happen. Even if it doesn't fit into the normal, you know, cause and effect of this world. And we call this an alilah. An alilah is, this is the nature of the way things have to be. This is the larger scheme of things. And the Al Shech HaKadosh writes, Shemitah ita mechuyevet ha-metziyum imakom acher. They had to die. That was already decided. El sheyot ha-metah yidei shreifat ha-esh v'gam yotah b'makom ahu zayah lavon ha-eshtara. Why they died through this particular way, at this particular time, that was their sin of bringing this fire. But it really wasn't that. That was like an excuse. Lo sha'ish nara b'vah maspik haya l'chayv ha-mita. That alone wouldn't have made them chayv mita. Ki im shechiyuv ha-mita kvar nigzera. They needed to die anyway. Whether it's because of Mamad Har Sinai, or it's because they saw in God, or it's because of the consecration of the Mishkan. Ki ve'amutu lifnei Hashem ki ayu metim kfar beitin shamalo. They were already dead, so to speak. Ki agzera ita lufanav yitbarach v'ataba lapo b'srifat alei sara. So Hashem already had decided this, and now it's going to come down into this world. Shiratzah l'kadesh b'hem b'chinuch habayit. V'nikdashchi b'chvodi. Hashem wanted this as a consecration of the Beis HaMikdash. And that's why, really, going back to our original question, why do Chazal see all these reasons? They didn't get married, they're shtruya yayin, they're mora havracha. Why all these reasons? Because just bringing an esh zara isn't enough to have you get killed. Like, it was bad, I understand that. That's why going back to what we began with, whether it's in the Kurdish Kedushim, it's even worse, bringing ketaret, a fire once a commandment. Why are Chazal trying to find so many different sins? For Nadav and Avihu, they did one thing wrong and suddenly I'm just heaping on them? And it's getting back to this Nakudo. That one thing wrong wasn't enough to kill them. Obviously, there must be something else going on here. What's really going on here is that Kadosh Baruch Hu wanted them to die. That's what's going on here. So you're going to tap on all these other things? That's really ancillary. And he says, and I can't explain this to you, and that's why he says, Liodim Chayin. These are people who understand the Chochma Nistar, the hidden secrets. That when a tzaddik dies, and that's why when a tzaddik dies, we call that day a hilula. A hilula is like a day of celebration, because when a tzaddik dies, the effect, the death of the tzaddik in heaven, and its effect down here in this world, is very special. And again, we don't understand what that means, and for us it's just painful. But the hilula of a tzaddik is there's a great simcha when that soul reaches heaven. And that's why the usher of a Rebbe in 44, Mashi Ra'alem Ubuchina Nora Lilash Ratonit Barach Hayashem Ahemit Kadesh Mitatam, that Hashem wanted this to happen. So here you see that the death of Nadav and Avihu is beyond our understanding. It's a plan of a Kodesh Baruch Hu. Nara li la b'nei Adam. Hashem has these master plans that we don't understand. And Nadav and Avihu, for whatever reason, their greatness, they needed to die on this particular day. That was the way that the Kodesh Baruch Hu envisioned. And we don't understand. I always say to my students, the Kutzker Vort, you wouldn't want a religion of a God you understood, right? Right? So we don't understand. And this is, again, the Bittul, the nullification we spoke about. And so whatever reasons Chazal give, it's really secondary to the fact that this is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to happen. Clearly, they're bringing this Esh Zara shows you what high level they were on, based on what we've seen. That these were people who were on a very high level, that they felt they shouldn't even get married to separate themselves, and they felt that, you know, there was such passion that their bodies came out, their souls came out of their bodies, short-circuited, and they were on the level of the Avos HaKadoshim, that they were able to intuit what Hashem wanted, even though it wasn't given to them yet, and they felt they could bring the rectification of Adam HaRishon and bring it on a level of the future where there will be no death, and we'll be able to do what, you know, even without being commanded, because there's no Yetzirah to stop us, and it's all about serving God. This, if all of these reasons give us a sense, not to give us a reason, but to give us a sense of who Nadav and Avihu are. I'll just end our shir today, which was, again, a bit of a complicated shir, that this last piece, for me personally, was a refuah before the Makkah, to understand, as I'm pre-taping today, was the funeral of this 46-year-old Rav, the father of 12, who was killed in this terrorist shooting attack. And when you read about what happened, that, you know, he heard it. He was a distance away. He drove back in order to try to neutralize the terrorists, and he himself is killed. So you just ask yourself, like, Ribbono Shel Olam, a father of 12, somebody who's trying to save lives, is killed? It makes no sense. And then, for me, you read, learn a piece like this of Nara Lilal Bnei Adam. There are certain individuals. It's a hilula. These are tzaddikim that Kadosh Baruch Hu wants up in Shemayim. That Hashem sometimes, we don't know, places people where He places them, puts ideas into people's head that you know, let me drive back. Let me see how I can be of help. And again, these are larger pictures that down here all we feel is pain and loss and suffering. And in Shemayim, there is a larger picture here, and we have to be able to understand that despite our pain and all of our suffering, and not understanding why these things have to happen, that there is that larger picture in this world, and each one of these events is just bringing that time that Nadav and Avihu so passionately yearned for, that time where we're just going to serve Hashem, because this is what we want to do. We're just going to come out of this, that this is the butler's way of serving his master, and it's going to be intuitive. It's going to come from passion, from love. This is all we want to do. There's nothing else in our lives but to serve Hashem. Those days are coming with each one of these deaths a little bit closer, a little bit sooner. Till that time, what we have left is to remember that we have to do it Kashet Tziva Hashem, as Hashem commanded us. Be careful of that spiritual egoism, and be able to recognize before I do a mitzvah to say, I'm doing this in order to be able to serve a Kadosh Baruch Hu, because this is what he wants, and to be able to bring that simcha, that passion, into our Avodas Hashem.